Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast meeting is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. And we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging. And their multiple birth parents with children with disabilities.
And this week we're speaking to a POG, our first over P, and our French P. Wah, wah, wah.
This podcast contains truth, laughter, and the occasional F word, so it's not really suitable for children.
Sometimes you just have to get your shits out. Shit, 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 shit. That's right, this is a language warning. Oh, shit.
Je m'appelle Kathleen.
Ah, je m'appelle Mandy. How do you say hello in French?
Well, there are a couple of ways. You can say bonjour,
oh, bonjour,
which
bonjour,
is the formal, the most normal. But you can also say salut, which is more like hi. Yeah, probably salut is most common.
Okay. Brilliant. Salut, Kate.
How do you say the weather's quite windy?
Il y a un peu de vent.
There you go, everybody.
There you go. That's it.
That's the most posh you'll ever get from us with the weather.
We're in Melbourne, but we're speaking to our beautiful friend, Alex, who you are all going to recognise from being one of the first speak pipes that we ever had.
And so, it sent us so many messages of support when we were in lockdown.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, we're always in lockdown, but when we were in the big lockdown.
Yeah. So welcome, Alex.
Thank you very much for having me. It's very exciting.
Oh, we're very excited to talk to you too.
We're thrilled.
Yeah, we've given up on the dream of ever touring around and interviewing people in person. We're just going to do it from the
That's right. Pubber. And we're grateful we can do that.
Yeah, we are.
Last year taught us a lot of skills. Oh, my gosh.
Yes, mostly the sound engineer learnt them.
Yeah. True. That's very true.
So anyway, let's get to our questions.
Yeah. Okay. Kat, do you have a song or some music that you like to listen to in either the tricky times or the really great times?
That's a great question because I like all different kinds of music. So I could make it a very long answer, which would bore the pants off everybody, so we'll keep it brief. I do love anything from the 80s because I was born in the 60s,
yes.
So that's kind of my teenage years.
Yes.
I love Queen.
Oh.
Anything by Freddie.
Yeah.
What a tragic loss that was to us. The Whitlams. That's an interesting one.
I love the Whitlams.
Because they're really, really Australian. And I think they're from Sydney, but
they
for whatever
are.
Reason, I always think of them as being Melbourne-ish. Mm. And I don't know why, but
probably
I really
they're
like
a little bit melancholy and not so Bondi surfy cool.
Yeah.
They sound a little bit more depressed.
They do.
For too long. And
there's no aphrodisiac like loneliness. Let's not forget
that's
that.
True.
This is it, yeah.
Yep, that's the I love the Whitlams. I would listen to an entire album at least once a week.
Mm.
Yeah, no, they're great. And of course, there's Barry White as well.
Oh.
That voice. Yes. I just love that voice.
Coming from one who has a beautiful voice.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, very, very true.
Oh, well, not when I sing.
Oh, that never stopped me singing.
That's
I wouldn't
true,
worry
Kate.
About that. All right, our next question. Did you win any awards when you were at school?
Oh, dear. Yes.
Yes,
you're allowed to say it. I'm so guilty.
I did. I did win awards for, French and English mostly. But also quite a lot of sport.
Right.
Well-rounded.
Yeah. No, not really. I mean, well-rounded in some senses of the word, yes. But I don't know that. Look, there were some things I was really good at and then there were other things I was totally rubbish at, like everyone.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's all right.
Just have to find your superpower and go with it.
True. Yeah. And the big question, tell us why you're a P.
Well, I'm a P because I am the mother of a young man called Max, who is now 27 and has Down syndrome. Mm. So he is my second of four boys.
Right.
And he's pretty exceptional, even if I do say so myself.
Oh, this is the place to brag.
This is the place to brag. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So we're going to go back, way back in time, as Marty McFly would say. When you were pregnant with Max, did you have any scans or did you know that he had Down syndrome?
No. Well, I did have a scan. I had my standard, well, what was then considered your standard 20-week scan. And there was never really much cause to have anything else because in those days, it's not like it was generations ago, but we didn't have the degree of prenatal testing available. No. You could have an amnio, could have a CVS, but that would only be offered if there was some cause for concern.
Yes.
And in the case of my pregnancy with Max, there was no cause for concern medically.
Yep.
I have to say from where I was, from my point of view, I felt very different in that pregnancy from my first one. Yeah, really, it was interesting. First of all, I thought, well, I must be having a girl.
Right, yeah.
Because it was so different from the first pregnancy. I was really tiny. I really didn't put on any weight. I mean, at 22 weeks, I had not put on any weight.
Wow.
And I was exhausted all the time. I nearly fainted once, which is unheard of for me. I mean, you know, I'm one of these, you know, cast iron stomach people. Yeah. Nothing phases me.
Yep.
So there was a bit of that going on. I did get a bit panicky at one stage and went back to the obstetrician in between visits and said, there must be something wrong. I'm not putting on any weight. Mm. And he had a good look at me and said, look, you're not, but the baby is growing. So there's nothing to be concerned about.
Right.
And the scan showed nothing to be concerned about. There were no markers or indicators. So. Yep. No, we had no idea until he came along. Although this is quite a spooky story and I promise it's true. The night before he was born, we were sitting at home and just had the telly on and I was actually counting contractions. And we happened to be watching a documentary and I can't remember what the whole premise of it was, but they were interviewing a doctor and I think he was a Dutch doctor talking about euthanasia and when the quality of life was poor enough to justify euthanasia.
Right.
And one of the examples he used in a newborn was a baby with Down syndrome. And I know. And I looked at that baby on the telly and I said to my husband, oh, gosh, you don't think we're going to have a baby with Down syndrome, do you? And he said, oh, don't be silly, of course not. Wow. I mean, I was 27. I was not in a high-risk age group or anything like that.
Yes.
But then, of course, was born the next day, he came out and I looked at him and I said to the doctor, I thought he looks like that baby who was on the telly last night.
Wow.
And I said, do you think he's got Down syndrome? So, yeah.
And did the doctor say yes?
No, actually he said no.
Right.
He didn't think so. And then, of course, the midwife called him back in again.
Yep.
After he'd had a look at him and said all was fine and he did very well in all his tests.
Yep.
And she called him back in again and I said, you do think there's something wrong, don't you? And he said, no, I really don't, but I am going to get a paediatrician to come and have a look. And unfortunately, that was one of those rectum paediatricians who did come about 3 hours later, I might add.
Yeah.
So just left us sitting there. And then said, oh, I can't tell you anything until I get the results of the blood test, so we'll just have to see.
Uh-huh.
So we had to wait. And it was about 6 weeks.
Six weeks?
Yeah, or maybe 5 weeks. It was a long time. And I kept ringing him. And when he eventually took my call, he said, "Oh, yes, how funny. I've just got your results in front of me." I thought, oh, yeah, that's right. That's
how funny.
Yeah, what a load of rubbish.
To ring me.
Oh. Yeah.
Exactly. Anyway, it turned out he had the standard. He has got the, I say standard, the most common trisomy, which is a trisomy. Obviously, it's a 21, but he just has the trisomy 21. He doesn't have mosaic or anything like that. So,
What did you do in that limbo time?
Well, we had decided that he definitely had it.
Right.
We were getting assurances from various family members that we should wait until we got the test results. But we had decided he definitely had it.
Yep.
The lovely midwife, who was being non-committal because she's not supposed to say anything, I just said to her, "Look, I just want your opinion. I'm not going to hold you responsible if you say something wrong." Yeah. Anyway, in the end, she said, "Look, if you do need to wait till you hear from the doctor, but I think he probably has on balance, yes." Mm. And I mean, if you look at photos of him now, as a baby, he clearly has Down syndrome. He looks like a little boy with Down syndrome.
Yeah.
So we did get in touch with the Down Syndrome Association, who came and visited. And I was lucky enough to have a friend who knew somebody who worked in early intervention. So she popped over and showed me how to wrap him and just, gave really sensible advice, actually, which was, okay, these are things I recommend you do with him from an early age, just to keep him stimulated a little bit, and also to keep his limbs wrapped, because they tend to be a bit floppy, babies with Down syndrome. But she, the best advice she gave me was, enjoy him. He's your baby. And she's absolutely right, of course.
Yes. And how old was your eldest son at that point?
He was 22 months, I think, 23 months.
Busy.
Yeah. So they were, yes, it was busy. They were very close in age. And at the time, it was a little bit, well, it wasn't a little bit, it was totally chaotic. And, you're going, as you would know, and probably more so than me, because the one thing that we were very fortunate with Max is that he had no underlying health conditions are often associated with the syndrome. But just going to early intervention and, getting your time to do all these little exercises that you're supposed to do, and then you've got a 2-year-old running around at the same time who not only has had his thunder stolen because you've dared to have another baby, but to make matters worse, you dared to have one that was different.
Yes.
So everyone wants to look at the baby that's different.
Yes.
Mm. And when did you have your third baby?
Oh, about 22 months later.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. It was, I look back on it now and I think, God, I was mad. I had the four of them so close together.
Wow.
But it's almost like those hormones are just working on you, and you look at the baby and you go, oh, that's cute. Let's have another one. Oh, no, that one's really cute too. We'll have another one.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
I always say I'm 15 years clean. They're beautiful.
Oh, you must have been busy then with all four of them.
We were, yes, I was. And of course, my husband worked very long hours, it was mostly me with the boys. Yeah. But that's, a common story for women, and at least I wasn't a single parent.
Yep. And so, whereabouts were you living during this time?
This was all in Sydney. So I moved to Australia from the UK when I was nearly 19 and met my husband quite soon after that. And we got married, as I say to him, he snatched me from the cradle. I was a child bride. Then we were living in Sydney, working in Sydney, and had all four children in Sydney.
Right.
Actually, before deciding that we needed to change our lifestyle.
Yeah.
Because he was never at home.
Yes.
Well, wow, good on you for doing it, because a lot of people never change that lifestyle.
No, that's true. But a lot of people also perhaps aren't in the position to do it as easily as we might have been, just from the point of view that we had actually, because we both had jobs that had been very well paid, we had got to a point where we were in a position where we thought, if we move out of Sydney, we can actually afford to buy a house and not have a mortgage.
Yes.
We wouldn't have been able to do it otherwise because we had no means of income other than starting a new business. And, you know, we were not eligible, I should say, for any kind of government support because we had this money in the bank that we were going to use to build a house. So they said, well, you've got, you know, X amount of money in the bank, you can't get any child support. So we had a couple of very lean years, but we did have that flexibility. We could do it. And if you have a huge mortgage, if you have no sensible means of income, it's really tough.
Lots of us relate.
And
so when you were looking at kindergartens, or did Max go to daycare or creche or kinder?
Yeah, he did actually. We had my eldest boy, Harry, had been going to a day a week at long daycare. And when Max came along, it never occurred to me that that would be an option for Max because of his disability. And I remember going to pick Harry up from long daycare one day, and the director said, "Can you come in? I need to see you." And I thought, oh, my God.
What's happened?
The dreaded.
What's he done?
Yep.
Sort of feeling slightly queasy.
Yes.
Like being called into the headmaster's office. You're going, what do I do? Anyway, and she just sat me down and said, I wondered if you'd been considering sending Max to come and spend some time with us in the same way that you did with Harry. And I said, well, no, I hadn't. And she asked me, she just said, why not? And I said, well, because he's got Down syndrome. I wouldn't have thought that it would be something that you'd be comfortable with. And she said, absolutely, we are comfortable with it. You are part of our family here, and we take in the siblings of our children who are already registered. They get priority.
Amen.
And Max is welcome.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I almost fell off my chair.
I bet.
And that was a very, very happy experience. He just went off, you know, at the age of about 12 months and had a day a week away from me, which would have done him the world of good. And he loved it, and they loved him. And, you know, really, what can you say? He's a baby, and, okay, he was behind. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't crawling and he wasn't doing this, that and the other, but he did eat and sleep and play and all that sort of thing.
What do you think that gave to you, having that day?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think the best thing it gave me was that I still felt like I'd grown a horn. Like I felt so like I was the odd one out because anyone else I knew who had children was producing normal, I say normal, and I'm making air quotes was producing children who didn't have disabilities, apart from the people I'd met through early intervention. So to have that acceptance from somebody of just, no, this is just part of life. Of course, you know, we treat you no differently now that you've had Max than we did when you had Harry it was really, really comforting, I think. And it was a blissful moment because we had a lot of horrors after that with school. But that was just a really precious moment. And I wish there were more people who worked in early childhood and education and so on and so forth who just felt the same way.
Approached you. For you and said, we want him.
No, it was a really, really precious gift that they gave us, I must say.
Tell us about school then. What was that like in the early days?
Oh, interesting. He went off to, he started off doing a bit of a preschool, and he went to a fabulous kindergarten union preschool where he was fully integrated and did really well there. Obviously, he was, you know, not making the same milestones as the other children. And we'd already decided he wouldn't start school until the year he turned six. So, and he's an October baby. So that he was going to be at least a year older than everybody else. But he did start, when he started school, he had some sight words, and he was you know, he was counting, and he was doing a lot of sort of appropriate stuff, I would say, for someone going into preschool. Going into kindergarten at school.
Yep.
But very soon. So we, this was when we'd moved. So by this time we'd moved out of Sydney and we were living up here on the far north coast. And the school we enrolled him in was really positive about him when we enrolled him, and they wanted him to join, and they got parents who were going to have children going into kindergarten at the same time to volunteer to come and help in the classroom if it was needed.
Oh, yeah.
All sounded great until they employed a new kindergarten teacher who said that she knew everything there was to know.
Oh, wow.
And didn't want any parent help. And the only parent she wanted in there was me.
Oh.
And that Max was only welcome in the classroom when I was there with him.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, is she allowed to say that as just a teacher? Not just a teacher, but, you know.
Well, we encountered a lot of, look, this was in a Catholic primary school.
Yep.
Having said that, when we started looking around at the public schools, we were offered part-time enrollment there as well. They said he can only come when he has an aide.
Right. Yep.
But essentially we stayed with that school for just over a year, and Max deteriorated. He just went backwards. And of course there were other children in the classroom who were young boys. They were boisterous. They were naughty, which I would expect for any young boy.
Yeah.
And Max was copying and being naughty, but then he was the one who then didn't realize when it was time to stop, I suppose, and he would get into trouble. And then we decided that we needed a communications book between the classroom and me, which quickly became a complaints book of them just telling me everything he did wrong. And I just say, has he done anything? Is there anything positive? Can you tell me, did he, you know, did he sit down to eat his lunch? Is there anything nice you can say? It was never. It was always, he didn't do this, he didn't do this, he didn't do this.
Alex.
So it was pretty grim. There were one or two shining lights. His year six buddy was the most gorgeous girl. And she really looked after him. But by the time we decided to take him out of the school, it had become really, really unpleasant. And the principal was trying to stick up for him, but the parish priest wasn't having it. So that was the end of
that,
really.
I mean, not that it's their job to really look after all of the community, and especially those that are a little bit more vulnerable. But, I mean, things like that, I know we should be all philosophical about it, but it makes me wild.
Yes.
They've read the Bible. They've read Jesus say, come unto me, you little children. Like, and then they're the ones going, oh, I don't really want them here.
Oh,
I know. And, you know, I think they've heard the expression, practice what you preach.
Yes. I think they have. I think they coined it.
Oh.
Anyway, there were many other ways that it could have been dealt with, but they chose that sort of adversarial, very unpleasant. It was all my fault. I was told that I'd set him up for failure.
Oh,
he wasn't ready for school and, you know, so that was it. We decided, and we'd always wanted him to mainstream. And this is a really good learning experience for me. And I'm sort of speaking as a someone who's sort of gone through a lot now with my child. For anyone who's perhaps in the same situation now that I was then, is that it took a lot for me to accept that you can't, none of our children are the same.
No.
And for me to imagine for a minute that I could just choose one school that was going to suit all four of my children regardless was, you know, it suited me, but actually it didn't suit them.
Yes.
And it was not reasonable for me to assume that it would suit.
But it's easy and parenting is hard.
Yes. So sometimes other families get to choose ease. Why can't we? It's confronting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's the biggest part of it, Mandy, is that it is really confronting. And when you're a young mother or father or whatever dealing with this situation, and you've got to come to terms with the fact that this little person who is yours and whom you love unconditionally is not going to be follow the same path as you had expected and that, you know, the rest of your children are going to follow. And at some point, I don't know when it was. For me, I think it was when Max was about eight. I suddenly realized that I stopped thinking about him being my son with Down syndrome.
Yes.
And I just realized that I was saying, oh, Max, I've got four children, Harry, Max, Sam and Louis. And I wasn't anymore thinking, oh, Max has Down syndrome or introducing him as my child who has Down syndrome.
Yeah, I think seven and eight is an age.
Yeah.
It definitely was a time for me. I remember seven and I thought, right, this is our family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was a really big turning point for me, and a huge change and a shift in my way of thinking. And, you know, I'd sort of had this idea in my head of wanting my children to be, and air quotes again, successful, but without really understanding what that meant, other than my own very linear sort of middle class perspective of what a successful person
Absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely.
And I had to totally change that paradigm because, of course, I want Max to be successful, but he's not going to succeed in the way that, you know, that society describes a successful person largely.
Yes.
And, in fact, he already is one of the most successful people I know because he's productive, he's happy, he has positive relationships, and he contributes so much to society.
Oh.
That's huge. That's all we want.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's but actually, again, you it's know. Nice because we get to wipe the slate clean and go, oh, none of that matters.
This is what matters.
Well, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And I think it's taught me a lot about myself. And I'm not, you know, yes, of course, it's because of Max. And it's also because I'm, you know, as we get a bit older, I think we get a much clearer perspective.
Yeah.
But just to have lost, I've just dropped all of that nonsense about who does the best at school, who got the best mark in this, who can run fast. Oh. You know, Max can't run. Max cannot run. I need to get him one of those T-shirts, you know, the ones that say, I don't run. If you see me running, you should run too because something is chasing me.
I need that.
So, you know, but it doesn't matter. So he was rubbish at sports carnivals, but then he got into the involved in a sort of it wasn't a Special Olympics, but a kind of a sister program with this fantastic woman who lives up here, who said he really should be coming and joining us for this, and excelled in all sorts of different things.
Yeah, of course.
He's the only one of my children who's represented the state in swimming.
Yes.
He came last by a country mile, but
still
he went in to that I might say it was butterfly as well. I still don't know how anyone can swim that stroke.
Wow.
And he was apparently, I couldn't go. My husband went down to watch him. It was in Sydney. And apparently he went out and decided that he was going to warm up on the pool deck and had the entire stadium in hysterics as he's doing push-ups, squats, you know, his slightly Buddha-shaped body, you know, he's getting ready and then he doesn't dive, so everyone dived in off the blocks and Max had a good look around and then just jumped. This big bleh.
It's a gift. Joy. It's just a joy. And, beautiful.
Team New South Wales, right? Well, that uniform.
Delighted.
It's the best.
Yes, I've never represented my state in anything.
Me either.
I got nominated for Victorian of the Year and lost.
Yeah, that's right. That's all we got.
No, you didn't. You were a runner-up. You were a worthy runner-up. Okay.
If we go back to then you changed schools, what was that like, moving schools?
Look, the biggest difficulty in that was that we moved from mainstream to a support unit.
Yeah. Yep.
And the biggest difficulty was me.
Yeah. Yep.
And I really struggled with the idea because I have this, not because I think a support unit is a bad place for a child to be, but it's not representative of society.
No. Yep.
So I felt I'm already making, you know, putting him into an environment where he's going to be treated like somebody who's different. And then when he gets out of school, people aren't going to treat him like that anymore. Mm. He's going to have to, you know, fit in with the broader community. And I really had a lot of trouble with that. But as it turned out, it was the right place for him, largely because he got to make proper friends.
Yes.
And, you know, really make a connection with other people who were his people.
Yes.
And they were able to, they were so flexible in their approach with his teaching and learning. So, you know, they asked me what we wanted, what we thought would be an achievement for Max. And I remember saying to them, well, because I read, I love reading. And I said, I would really like Max to read for pleasure.
Yep.
And she said, well, okay, we'll put that down as a goal. But just, she said, I'm not going to promise we'll achieve that because most people with Down syndrome will read for information rather than pleasure.
Right, yeah.
And And of course she was right, but Max does. I mean, when we go, I remember when, you know, all the boys were in their sort of late teens and we'd go down to the beach and they'd all take a book and Max would go and get his book of whatever it was, Hannah Montana, and bring it to the beach. And he would lie on the beach with Hannah Montana. Aww. And he would read. I mean, he's obviously not reading deeply. And no. He's not reading deeply. He's not absorbing huge amounts of information that way. But he was doing what he enjoyed.
And he was fitting in with his brothers. Yeah.
Exactly.
And I think I love reading as well. And books have saved my life, especially growing up. I could retreat into a fantasy.
Yes.
But I know my boys, they like factual things, right? Yes. So they will read instruction manuals and they will read. I'm like, of course that's giving them pleasure.
Yeah.
Just because it's not a story, they just know all these facts that I know nothing about. I mean, I can, you know, talk to you about Mrs. Bennett, but I'm not very good with dinosaurs. <Your nerves>. So who's to say what pleasure is?
You're absolutely right.
And it's a change when you're – I mean, I have to acknowledge it myself. Yes. I love reading. I've been in a book club for 20 years. I have to accept that Molly was going to find reading difficult, and that was something to – it was an adjustment.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's all these little adjustments that we make along the way.
Yep.
And I have to say, girls, that I think this makes us better people and all the peas who are listening in at the minute, that it does make us better people because we have made those adjustments. Yes. We realise that it's not about what we want. It's not what I want my child to be. It's what my child wants to be.
And what a gift.
And I have to stop and listen and look and say, oh, okay, actually this person has this talent that is something that I would never have considered and God knows where it came from, but how can we allow him to nurture that talent?
That's right. And that's for all children.
It should be for all children.
Don't we wish our parents, I had great parents, but don't we wish they gave us that freedom too? And I mean, I have deconstructed in therapy over things about my childhood, which I wouldn't change, but I've had to deal with. But if someone gives you the gift of going, oh, that's who you are and that's great. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Beautiful.
I know. And, you know, I think Max's brothers have really benefited from having Max, not just because they have that life experience of having this person in their family who they, you know, they can see that, well, for a start, it gives them a much better concept of the differences that there are in life.
Yeah, and
but also absolutely how good they are, and that, you know, it's absolutely fine for somebody to be quite different from you but still be very much like you in so many ways that it seems like it's this kind of almost a very strange, you know, you look at Max and I sometimes look at Max and when he's hanging out with his brothers and they have such similar senses of humor and they're so alike, and then something will happen and then you realise, of course, actually Max is quite different because he's going to go off now, put his headphones on and dance at the bus stop.
Yeah, awesome.
And not care.
Yeah.
And the others are going to go and, I don't know, do
they
whatever
it is that they do. They maybe wish they could do that.
They certainly wish they could dance like him.
Yeah. I agree.
Yes.
But they've also really benefited from that, what we've learned about allowing them all to be themselves because, you know, you're right, Kate. I think in my childhood it was expected that we would all work hard and do well at school.
Yep.
And, you know, it doesn't matter if that's not your thing.
No.
I'm sorry, girls. Come on, this is what we expect of you.
Yes, yes. Pull your socks up while you're at it. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, whatever it is that you think that you want for your children actually isn't always what they want for themselves.
No, it's true.
I think it's painful in a weird, I don't know if painful is the right word, confronting with all of our children to let them make their own life choices and to go, oh, I don't know if I would do that.
Yeah.
But actually I want people to do that for me. I want people to stand back and go, oh, well, you know, you decide to do then that,
go,
Kate, and you'll work it out if that's the right thing or not. So it goes for all of our children.
Yeah.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
How did you get through the teen years? What were they like? Ish. There's a lot to be said for adolescents.
He was actually a very easy teen. Mm. I have to say, so was Harry, my eldest. And I actually made the fatal mistake of thinking it was because I was a good mother.
Ah, yeah, we've all been there. Yeah. It's that third child. That third child, they are a different breed.
Sam came along and I went, oh, shit, no, it's nothing to do with me.
I remember when scholarship was about, and she was a very bright little, I don't like the word bright, but just really smart with her words, right? And so she was about 18 months and she completely destroyed my Christmas decorations, which I love very much. And I came into the room and she was standing on the table and I said, what have you done? And she said, bad baby. And I just remember thinking, I got no words because that's the truth. And now what do I do? And it's been downhill ever since, really, my parenting skills. Anyway, they're all born different.
Yeah.
They are. Well, you think that's bad. I remember because Max has this really, really highly developed emotional intelligence. And I swear to God, it feels like he's reading your mind sometimes.
Yes. Yeah.
In fact, I've had a couple of people who are sort of into sort of Eastern culture who've told me that he's a siddha, which apparently is somebody who can tell what you're thinking.
Ah.
And he and I, and I'm not a believer. I'm an atheist. I'm not religious at all.
Yep.
Having said that, I'm very respectful of people.
Yes. Yes. Of course.
You can follow your own beliefs. Yes. But that's my belief. Yes. I don't believe in it. So I had this bad day with Max. And I can't remember how old he was, but it may be 10. And I remember I walked into the kitchen and I was standing at the kitchen sink. And in my head, I was thinking, Max, just fuck off and leave me alone, right? And I turned around and Max was standing behind me and he said, you know, tell me fuck off, Mum.
Wow.
You knew it.
I swear I didn't say it out loud. I went, oh, I would never do that, darling. No. No, 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 no. Don't be silly.
You know, tell me, fuck
no,
off.
No, you know.
Yeah, you know.
I love it.
Oh, precious. Dear.
Oh, yeah. Wow, that's incredible because maybe your body language was more powerful than you knew.
Clearly it was. Clearly it was. And I mean, maybe I said it under my breath, but he had grommets and ear problems. I don't think he could have heard it.
No.
I just think he knew. I think he just knew what I was thinking.
I really relate to that with Molly. She's highly empathetic in our house.
Okay.
Yeah. She's more in tune with my feelings than anybody else. I think maybe because she relies on it. You know, she's relying on where I'm at.
I don't know. Because
more than the others. What do you think?
I find like number one daughter is more like that.
Yeah, okay. Right?
So I think that's an amazing thing to be born with. I think it's a little bit of a burden because it's like Mandy's extremely empathetic and it means that she takes everyone's problems on.
True,
right?
True.
So but also it's so lovely when it's someone in your house who can just come and stand next to you and you're like, yes, you see me right now.
Mm.
I don't know that I can say the same for Buzz and Woody.
They're working on it. They're working on it.
I'll have to put that in their individual learning plan.
Yes. Get us back to the teenage years. Is there any words of wisdom you have for peas that are going through the teenage years?
Oh, look. Yeah, I think particularly, I guess it depends on each child, but the one thing that I really struggled with Max, and I'm sure he wouldn't mind me talking about this, is that, you know, the sort of the awareness of sexuality is quite challenging.
It is.
And I think if I had any advice for anyone, it would be just keep talking about it. It doesn't, it might feel weird and embarrassing, but particularly with a child who is uninhibited. So they will actually tell you far more than you want to know about what's going on in their life. You just think, okay. But the more you can talk about it and the more you can the more that you're comfortable with saying things like, look, it's not okay. I mean, we had one occasion with Max where we were out in a shopping centre and we couldn't find him. We didn't know where he'd gone. So got a bit panicky, and then John, my husband, found him. He'd gone into the men's toilets, but he'd taken all his clothes off. And that was scary. But then to be able to have that conversation and say to him, you know, this isn't shameful. It's not embarrassing. Why did you do it? What were you thinking about? Why, you know? And then, okay, well, next time you have those thoughts, tell us and we can go home. You know, we used to say to him all the time, you know, you can go to your room and shut the door and just say, I want to be on my own. That's what he ended up doing.
But I actually think, I mean, maybe not taking your clothes off in the public toilet, but I think that that way of adolescence is much healthier, because I think there's a lot of shame involved in typical adolescence. I can't talk about it because we won't talk about this sort of thing about our children, but I find it incredibly freeing and powerful, right? And I just think the whole house changes their views on everything. You're like, wow, overnight. We're like, you know, this is just part of life. I really like it, and so I agree. And I think everyone whose children are growing up, you should really talk to them really openly about their body changing and sexuality, and because if it's always talked about in your home, it's not embarrassing.
Yeah,
absolutely. And the thing is that, you know, it is, if we weren't sexual beings, then we'd go extinct very quickly. Why there is any shame or sense of disgust about anything like that, I don't know. I mean, if someone, you know, we don't mind talking about illnesses and things like that. It's just a normal part of the cycle of life. You know,
I think it's tricky in the disability world, though, isn't it, to talk about in parenting. It's a tricky topic.
But I think you don't want to ever talk about anything that might be private. And of course, as parents, we never will. But I also think that you can give the advice.
That's
okay to have open conversations in your home. So that's what we're
Alex,
what we're saying.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's great to talk about.
I think so. I think just make sure that you don't, no one needs to feel ashamed. We all do silly things. We all make mistakes.
That's right.
But if you can get to the bottom of why they did it, then it's much easier to stop the behavior.
Sorry.
I was going to say rude, but that would have been worse.
Either or.
If you can find the underlying cause of the behaviour. Anyway, it just, no shame, you know. Find out what's going on. Why did you do that? Okay, now I understand. So let's do it this way, not that way. Rather than that's disgusting. Don't do that. Whatever.
Tell us about his dance troupe. I want to hear all about it. And when did that begin? Was that when he was still in high school, or was it now he's out of school, he's an adult?
Max started showing the signs of being a pretty awesome dancer very early on. He's just got the most incredible sense of rhythm. And he just moves. He's taught himself to dance by watching videos, actually. And he can follow it. It's incredible. But I think he would have been about 17 when I was just flicking through the paper. Actually, sorry, I'll go back a little bit. When he was about 15, I did enroll him into some dance classes with a local teacher who said that she'd like to take him, you know, like to teach him. And it wasn't terribly successful. It wasn't unsuccessful, but I think she was perhaps not familiar with dealing with people like Max. And so there was a bit too much sort of rigidity and expectation about, you know, outcomes and all that sort of thing. And then a couple of years later, I just was flicking through the local paper and there was an ad saying, do you know somebody who has a disability and loves to dance? If so, we want you, kind of thing, ring this number. So I rang, and it was the woman who started up was she was the brainchild behind Sprung, which is the dance theatre company that Max is still with now.
Oh, awesome.
He was the first person to join.
Oh wow.
This lovely woman's daughter was the sort of driving, the fact that this woman had a daughter who is now actually is Max's partner. They've been together for 8 years, I think, 7 years. And she's also a very good dancer. She'd been dancing since she was quite little. But she was finding it, her mum was finding it very hard to find a theatre company that would that sort of suited her. So she decided to start her own.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Yep.
She thought, I'll start it. Oh, and on top of that, this woman is also a paediatrician who works in an emergency department.
Oh, my gosh.
So it wasn't like she had anything else to do.
No, you've got to ask a busy working mum.
That's an extraordinary pee, yep. That is.
Yep, extraordinary pee.
Yeah.
Super pee, yes.
Yep.
So, so Max joined and he has just – the company has grown and it's just gone from strength to strength to strength. And Max has just blossomed. I can't tell you. It's just been the most incredible experience for all of us just to watch him and all of them. But, I mean, I'm talking about Max because he's my child.
Of course.
You're so proud.
He's now such a polished, when I say polished, he's now so good at what he does and following the choreography and so on and so forth. He's actually been booked by other companies to go and perform. Which is pretty impressive.
It is. I mean, I'm a really good dancer and that's never happened to me.
Oh, God. Are you not doing the, what is it called? The sprinkler. You're not doing the sprinkler.
I've moved on a little bit.
That's from the musical, Frozen Pizza musical. Kate will do the sprinkler.
Yeah, yeah, when we get the stage show up and running.
So, yeah, so he goes, that's basically, he divides his time now. So this is the other thing that I wanted to talk about is the post-school.
Yes,
because I think
please.
It's something that really, I know I was really worried when Max was in his last couple of years at school.
Yes,
I thought,
I'm starting to get
awaits
anxious.
Him?
Yep,
yep.
And there was no NDIS then either.
That's right.
So he was going to leave school on a pathetic little amount of money or an even more pathetic little amount of money.
Yes.
And he ended up on the even more pathetic little amount. So it was quite a daunting experience. But what we discovered, we were very lucky because we had the Sprung dance. We also discovered that Max is very good at pottery.
Ah.
And he makes the most beautiful ceramics, which he still does now, which he sells, actually. So he has these two...
You'll have to give us the link.
Yes.
I will. He has these two jobs, if you like, that he does. But I guess my point is that when you're looking at post-school options, I would... definitely be looking at what it is that you think your child. I mean, this sounds really obvious, but rather than looking at what an organization has to offer, you're going to say, "What has my child got? What has my child got to offer?
Yep.
What are they
yes.
good at?" And then find the place, the disability service provider, or whatever it is that suits your child's needs. And I mean, it can be exhausting and it can be confronting, but at least now with the NDIS, I think there's a more flexibility and a little bit more I think the families are slightly more empowered than
they
were.
I think so too.
Yes, I think so.
And the service providers are changing and getting more, creative and interesting and having to come up with great ideas as well.
Absolutely. And we don't – it doesn't have to be. There are – I mean, I firmly believe that every person – doesn't matter how severe the disability that they live with, every person has a talent. They're good at something.
Yes.
They've got something to offer. So we need to find, if we can't see it, that's not their fault, that's our fault. We have to find out what that is.
Yes.
And then go, okay, how are we going to make that? How are we going to allow you to get the benefit of that? And that's what, I mean, I'm getting better at it as I get older and I get tougher.
Yes.
And just say to these organisations, well, no, that's not what he's coming here for, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't happen for Max because Sprung is so has been literally built around offering integrated dance theatre, and the majority of the participants have disabilities.
Yes. Yep.
And they, all the programs are individually, I mean, they're group programs, but every individual who comes into them does so with their own goals. And they say, this is what I want to achieve. Oh, okay, yeah. Well, that's how Brilliant. We're going to make it work.
Yes.
Mm. You know, it's all around music, theatre, dance, all that sort of thing. Oh. But that would be the first thing that I would be doing is to be looking at my child and saying, what is it that they can do? And then find someone who's going to be the best for them.
Yeah.
Not how your child's going to fit into someone else's plan.
Very right. interesting. Yeah.
And then the other thing is post-school out-of-home living options.
Yes.
Which is a really big one and still not great, no. I don't think.
No.
I know when we started thinking about this for Max, he was 22 maybe. And I rang up a couple of organisations and was told that the waiting list was 20 years.
Oh, great.
So
good.
That's really useful.
Yes. And that's like trying to get into Scotch College or whatever. You have to put their names down at birth.
Exactly. Or when you're pregnant. Yeah. Who knows where you're going to be living?
Oh.
I mean, we were in Sydney when he was little.
Oh, no, it's garbage.
So I couldn't say, oh, I know that I want something on the far north coast of New South Wales.
No.
Thank you very much. Mm. But it's something that it's worth considering, and I know it seems like that's a long way off, but if I had my time over, I probably would have started thinking about that when Max was younger.
Yeah.
Because the reality is, and I mean, there are obviously going to be young people who have disabilities who won't be in a position to have that choice, but for most people who have disabilities that I know of, who Max knows and are still living at home and they're in their 20s, all they want to do is move out of home.
Yes,
that's what everyone else does.
Yes.
Yeah.
And their siblings leave.
I mean,
and,
I want to move out. So. Yeah, no, that's right.
Well, it's enormous. And I think what the NDIS wants is for every family to buy their child a home and then have your support people
Where
come
does
in.
That money
but not
come
everybody
from?
Can do that.
Well, I would say 95% of people can't
that's
do
right.
that.
And in any case, that actually isn't setting the child up for independence, not properly, because, well, I mean, unless you're in a position to gift that house to your child, then you're still the one who's going to be financially responsible.
Yes.
You're going to be paying the mortgage, blah, blah, blah. What happens if you die?
Yes.
And
the mortgage isn't paid off and all that sort of thing. I mean, it's just, we just don't have, I don't think at the moment, and I can't see it changing under the current the current government, but I just don't think that as a society we can see that with the strength and the health of a society can only be measured by how well you look after the people who need it most.
Yeah.
And all of these people, if we put the time, money and effort in when they're young, then you're saving so much at the end because let's make them as independent as possible.
Yes, this
then
is what we talk
happy.
About at school. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. They're happy. They lead a productive life.
Yep.
they have, they have self-esteem. And anyone who has self-esteem and is happy and productive is ultimately they're going to have more health. They'll be healthier. They're not going to suffer from isolation. They're not going to have mental health problems. They're not going to suffer from all these, complex issues that many adults with disabilities go through, which is on top of the fact that they're dealing with a disability because they don't get the same access to just to community and independence and all that sort of thing that is absolutely fundamentally their human right.
Yes, it is their human right.
How have you navigated it?
Look, we're very lucky, again, because of we did do what the NDIS wants and we did buy a house that Max lives in with two other tenants.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the rule is that they all have to have a disability. We want the house to be for people who have disabilities.
Yeah.
So they almost cover the mortgage, not quite, but almost with their rent.
Yes.
Max does have the capacity to lead a reasonably independent life. He does have he has a lot of drop-in support, but he'll go out. He gets the bus to go to dancing. He gets the bus to go to pottery. He can, we chose a house in a town where he can walk to the cinema, walk to the shops, all that sort of thing. And that was really important. We had to set that up before we went away to live on the other side of the world.
Yes, I was going to say, when did you leave? Place.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was 5 years ago. So we just got the house set up. And because he didn't want to come, we thought that he might come not to France, because he wouldn't have been able to, he would have had a terrible time because of the language barrier. Mm. But he might, we thought he would go and live in England because he has a British passport.
Right. Yep.
And I'd found a really good living option for him there. They have some great, great options there, the disability sector in the UK. Mm. But then he just said, no, I don't want to. I'm happy here. This is my life.
Yeah.
Good.
So, and good for him, absolutely.
Yep, he knew his mind.
Yeah. So he stayed, and, you know, that was another, you know, huge thing that Sprung did, was they kind of, that became his second family.
Yes.
And it was just, he had this group of people and they all looked out for him.
Yeah.
So it was a happy ending and a happy success story. And I mean, you know, I've had people say to me, I wouldn't say lots, how could you do it? You know, how could you leave him? You're selfish and all that sort of thing. But another piece of advice for people who have children who have disabilities and therefore need them a bit more, I would say is, you also have needs.
Yes.
And you also have a right to want the same things that other people who don't have those children with higher support needs. Mm. You do have the right to want those things. And I'm not suggesting that you turn your back. I don't think most parents with children with disabilities are devoted.
Yes, they are.
But I don't think that anyone should ever feel guilty about saying, do you know what, I just really want to do this, and it might mean that I'm going to leave that child somewhere else for a little period of time so that I can go and do that thing.
Oh,
and it won't kill the child and it won't kill the relationship.
And it's hard. Yeah. I know, I always feel guilty when I go to a concert or whatever. I'm like, oh, I should.
Oh, no.
But then I love it when I'm there.
Yes, and then you come home a better mum.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And you set him up for success, Alex. So then you could go. You'd done all that work.
And you'd worked hard.
Yeah.
But I think the sad thing for me is a lot of people will work equally as hard but won't have the resources to do that. And so
that's why,
as a peak community and the world community and the Australian community, we need to be outraged.
Yes.
That absolutely.
That our children or our friends are not offered a house.
Mm. I couldn't agree with you more. And I often look at the people around Max who don't have the same level of advocacy because they haven't either got the parents behind them or they haven't got, you know, somebody who happens to have the money that they can do it.
Yep.
And they are just falling through the cracks. And it's so wrong. It's all well and good for me to say, Max has done well, but there, but for the grace of God, it could have been very different for him as well.
That's true.
And we just need to make sure it's not fair.
We don't allow it.
We complain about economic discrimination among the non-disabled community. So let's start talking about it in the disabled community.
Yes,
they should not be discriminated against just because they come from a lower socioeconomic background or because they don't have a parent who can advocate for them.
I know.
You probably see that in the pandemic as well, you know, which probably should highlight it even more.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Well.
No, it's.
Alex.
It's a poo bum.
Is there anything that you want to tell the P tribe, the world, that we've missed today?
I don't think so. I just think that we all have to, I remind myself all the time that what I've got might not have been what I had anticipated. All those years ago, but if I could go back and talk to my 27-year-old self after Max was born and I cried and cried and I was desperate and I thought, what's going to happen to this child?
Mm. Yep.
The one thing that I would say is, don't worry about it so much.
Yes.
There will be dark days and we had a lot of dark days and there will be other people who have far darker days than I did and continue to. But ultimately, that child that person is going to be a marvelous and wonderful person. and they will be part of your family. And they do have, whatever it is, they've got something to give. We just need to find it.
Yes. Like every baby does.
Oh, preach it.
Yes. Thank you, yes.
Alex. Oh, Alex.
That's my pleasure.
And we love and you and we wants... love that you've been supportive of us.
Yes.
Oh, well, you
and
need
you really
it.
Have
my God.
When we were in the depths of lockdown angst.
Yeah.
Oh, it's been awful for you guys. It's been really tough. But yep, and they're doing it in Sydney now.
Yep. And I probably will have another one.
Yeah, but we feel for the Pea families more than anybody.
Do. Yep, we do.
Oh, God, yes.
The stress.
Yeah.
Thank you. We know, I mean, I say this to nearly every guest, you could have your own podcast. You've got so much wisdom and knowledge and kindness, and we're just so grateful you could share that today. And thank you for being a beautiful member of the Pea Tribe.
Thank you very much for having me, and keep going. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
We will.
We will.
and anybody, anyone who has a little one who is interested in anything to do with music, dancing, have a look at Sprung. We do have some online classes as well, little Auslan sign inquiry.
Brilliant.
Gorgeous. Yeah. We will pop it in the show notes.
We sure will. I'm going to have a look straight away. Thank you, Alex.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See you.
Bye.
Oh, Alex.
I just love Alex. Not that I've ever met her.
No, but
I feel like we're friends.
Yeah, and we've had lots. She's given us lots of beautiful speak parts.
Yeah,
you know?
And sent us messages on Facebook and Instagram. And yeah, there are just.
I mean, we could listen to her for 2 hours.
We
honestly
could.
There's so much wisdom.
Yeah.
Right? And go and find her, you know, like find Sprung and check out her photos on our Instagram. And
she's beautiful. And so is Max, even though we haven't met him.
I know.
She sent some really
funny
stories, like the church story. And
that's right. Yes.
Oh. Did anything make you cry, Mandy?
Yes, I cried this week because my friend's dad died. And my beautiful friend Dana, and she loved her dad so much.
Yes.
And it was in the lockdown.
Yep.
And I just thought it's just so unfair, all the people dying in lockdowns and the 10 people at funerals or now the 50 or the,
you don't even know if it's going to change the next
and
day.
And I've just been sad for her because I know how much she loved her dad.
Yeah.
His name was Barry, and every time I met him, it was, you know, welcoming and friendly, and people were writing on her Facebook page, you know, everyone had a friend in him.
He
was one of those people, and I just feel
the world will miss him.
Yeah, and I just feel sad for her.
Yeah.
And she's parenting three little kids, and she's just like, it's just unbearable.
It is unbearable.
And I just, there's nothing I could do. I couldn't get to her.
No, you can't help. Nope.
And
you can't even give someone you love a cuddle.
No, so
COVID's cruel.
I just sent her some chocolate.
Yeah.
That's what I could do. But, you just feel so useless.
You really do.
When actually that's the time where you need to go around and say, right, kids, you're coming to my house for a night.
Yeah.
And you take three kids.
I'm going to bath all the kids
I'll feed them.
Yep.
I'll get them all in their jammies. I'll pat them all to sleep.
Yeah.
Nothing makes me happier than getting my friend's kids to sleep.
No.
I'm really good at it.
Yes.
And the kids always listen to me. But that's something I can do, and I can't do it, and you just feel useless.
Yeah, you really, really do.
Yeah.
So this would have already happened by the time this podcast comes out, but I wouldn't say I cried, but I was sad that we couldn't do the podcast festival.
Oh, so I cried
because
about
I feel
that
like
too, Kate.
We had the dream. We inceptioned it.
We
and
did.
Now
we manifested PodCon.
We did.
And we were actually invited.
I know.
I was really looking forward to it. And we'd booked 2 nights away. And everyone was looking forward to it. Annalise, Lorraine. Like, we were going to see all the other shows.
Yes.
I'm just sad.
I know. I mean, you can still go see. There's still other shows that are going to be really awesome. I might be, I think, still going to Welcome to Patchwork and a few of the other ones. So if you go to any of them, you might bump into me. But the truth is, I don't even think it's going to go ahead.
I know.
This is
the reason why we can't do it is because we've got tickets to fly. Somewhere on a holiday in September, and I don't even know if that'll even happen. So I'm saying to Kate, I'm letting you down.
No, you're not.
On a pretend holiday that probably won't happen.
Yeah, but if
I
I
can't say to the podcast people, well, I might have a holiday.
No.
It was just such an awful time.
But if you can't go away,
then it's
the
not
podcast
happening.
Festival's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So
I know.
I'm.
But still, I feel disappointed.
I don't know if, and block your ears, Sydney. But I don't know if Sydney people will be able to come to Melbourne by then anyway.
I don't think so.
And there was a lot of Sydney people coming down and our beautiful Acast family. And so, you know, it's just a loss and it's not a huge loss, but I think on the back of us.
It was on the back of the book.
Losing the book launch.
Yeah. The launch in Sydney.
The launch in Sydney. All the live media instead of doing it from our bedroom.
Yeah.
All of that, which I'm so grateful for. And I know that people in lockdown will be like, whatever. But remember, we're in lockdown too.
Yeah.
And we're in and out of lockdown all the time. We're lockdown yo-yos. So anyway, did anything make a difference in your life?
Well, I don't know if. Have we've talked about doing our Instagram, Facebook Live book launch? Have we talked? Oh, we've already talked about it. Okay, all right. Okay, scrap that. Lynn Masters in the Two Peas in a Podcast Hangout is from Melbourne.
Yes.
She said, is there anybody in Sydney, Peas, that need a gift or some help from us?
So beautiful.
And people were like, I don't normally say yes, but I need help.
Yes.
And then I just thought, wow, the Peas tribe.
Yes.
You know, we know how tough this is. And I'm so proud of every Pea that A, put up their hand to say, I need help.
Yep.
And B, who have agreed to send help.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. And whatever way that is.
Yep. Because it's lockdowns are tough and never ending rolling lockdowns. Oof.
Yeah.
It's really, really hard. So you think that it doesn't make a difference, but actually going to the letterbox and getting something, it makes a difference.
It does.
We've said it lots of times.
We've got
send
Donut
Centre.
So if you know any Pea family, even if you're in Sydney and you're doing okay and you've got someone close by, send them something.
Yep.
Yeah, remember the Ooshies were out, you know?
Yes.
And all my friends, I put it on my personal Facebook. Yep. We got so many of those blinking things.
Yep.
But just every day getting a little note that said, we're thinking of you and here's our Ooshies from Perth, from Queensland, from New South Wales. It was really great.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Mandy and I also, I don't think we've mentioned on the podcast, but our beautiful podcast sister, Kirsty from the Art of Decluttering.
Yes.
Sent us Bollinger,
yes,
like proper champagne.
Yes, for the book launch.
For the book launch because she knew that we were sad.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's just really special.
Really,
really,
really
special.
And
it cost her a lot of money and she's in lockdown herself.
Yes.
And anyway.
Shout out to her.
She's a good soul.
She's running her business.
Yeah.
I mean, it's tough.
In amongst lockdowns
and
all
her
of that.
And Amy used to be able to get together for their podcast. They haven't been able to for over a year.
Yeah, that's right.
You know?
So tough.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so my other make a difference is I bought musk air freshener and it smells like musk sticks. I'm not joking. It smells like musk sticks. It's cat and dog friendly. I've also got like, I don't know, I bought six. Because
fairy floss, you gave me one.
Yep, there's rose petal, there's something else, marshmallow. They're amazing. I think it's, I can't even remember the company.
Mask.
Mask is the company. And if you see that little ad come up on your Facebook, it's actually good.
Yeah.
Buy it.
The
I
mask
love
is
it.
Delicious.
This is definitely not sponsored, as you can tell,
no.
But I really, really love it. And it's made a big difference in my house.
Well, especially when we're all home. There's a lot of smells.
Yes. And the other thing
there's a lot of aromas.
A lot, as you would know, and everyone in lockdown. The other thing that made a difference was the other day I was on Facebook and The Shovel, which is a satirical newspaper, sort of like Batuta. It's by the Chaser people, I think.
Yeah.
They put an article up and in the article they were describing someone who I think general consensus this person is a bit of a not a very nice person, but they use the word fuck.
Oh, no.
R word, right? Anyway, and I just thought, what do I do? So I just wrote, I thought it was quite nice, and I just said to them, I'm a big-time fan of yours. You guys are so beautiful and brilliant with language, and I think that you've got a better word than this. This word really hurts, and you're in a diverse community and our community with an intellectual disability. And so I just thought maybe you could use a different word, something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, number one daughter's like, right, don't make any more comments, Mum, because people – no, like 150 people loved my comment.
Right.
All these people wrote underneath it saying, thank you, I was going to say this, my child has an intellectual disability, I find this hurtful.
Yep.
There was a couple of people who like questioned it and then other people went into bat and people wrote the funniest things. This guy was like, okay, Kate, what do you think about the C word ox? Do you think that's okay? What about fuck knuckle? And like all these really funny things.
Yes,
and I was like,
way better.
And they're like, you can have them. You can have those words, right? So it was such a beautiful thread. And then I looked back at the article and the word was gone.
Well done,
so they didn't message me or anything, but they just changed it, right? And they called him a fuckhead. Fine,
perfect.
Go for it.
Most people have a head.
That's right. So I just thought I didn't. get angry.
Yeah, you called them in.
Yeah, I did. And they, you know, of course they're not going to respond to me. Who am I? But, and so many people backed me up.
Yeah.
And there wasn't any fighting or anger. Yeah. And I just thought, you know what? The world is a good place. We have to remember that the world is a good place. So that made a big difference. So, yeah. Well, I just felt proud.
Off the back of that, I did write one about what sport should be in the Brisbane Olympics. And
yes,
I said, I said it should be the middle-aged women that have been in lockdown Melbourne that are homeschooling and working and cooking and cleaning.
Yep.
And I got quite a number of likes on that as well. And people are like, I'm going to win gold. I said, no, you're not.
No,
You've only got two kids. I'm winning gold. And it did make me laugh for ages.
It did.
I was like, okay, you get a gold medal. You get a gold medal.
I saw
it was
someone
some
got a
random
bronze.
Page like Gold Coast
it was ABC.
Yeah, but it was like some place in Queensland. It wasn't even Melbourne ABC.
I know. Oh. I was like, how did Mandy see this?
But I just thought, you know what? Take that. I don't care about what sport you want to include in 12 years' time.
No.
You know, because we'll win any day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we will.
Okay, what made you laugh?
All right. So what made me laugh is I probably haven't mentioned it, but Mandy and I wrote a book. And my friend Tammy was reading it and she like sent me a screenshot and she's like, well, that one got through to the keeper or the spelling keeper. I still didn't even see what the word was. Anyway, I'm supposed to say tennis coach, but I've written tennis couch. So feel free to circle that. I just want you to get your pens out, put a line through it and just write coach, okay? It's just like the year 12 exams when there's a mistake, okay? Just cross it off. But I was just crying laughing going, the tennis couch, that's me. I sit on the couch and watch tennis and when I get up, So I think it's a fair
I think the tennis
Freudian
couch
slip.
Is perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it has made me laugh a lot that in the book I've said the tennis couch. So
I think that's about it. I think, like, we had a lot of editing.
A lot.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back and look at my original and see if I wrote tennis couch.
Or if they stuffed it.
But I'm too scared.
I know. I was personally chuffed.
Because
it wasn't
like,
me.
Woo-hoo, it's you.
Yeah. And Lee spotted it a while ago and I thought, I'm not going to say it.
Oh, you should have told me because I think it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what made me laugh is what's been so lovely is I've been working with quite a lot of peas.
Yes.
With older kids that have children with all sorts of disabilities. I'm not going to say this person's name, but they are a member of the tribe.
Woo-hoo.
And when we brought up the Zoom yesterday, she had a picture of her cat behind her and we could not stop laughing. And she's like, I can't believe, I don't know who put the cat behind me. It was like
on her Zoom
screen. And then so we both, because it's like we know each other.
Yeah, of
because
course.
We're in the P tribe.
Yes.
So we were just both killing ourselves laughing. And I was like, okay, it's all right. She's like, I don't know what to do, Mandy. I don't know how to take the cat down. And I was like, all right, you can go into video, click the little arrow, and then we got the cat off. And oh, gee, it was just magic. And we laughed for ages. Her husband was really funny and they were just a joy in my day. And I just thought the P tribe, you know, and we're complicated people. And that's why I said, probably was it in this episode or it was in Valerie's where I talked about sleep shame.
Yes.
I just don't want to have it anymore in our community.
No.
And so if that's the one legacy I leave from my work, it's that I want our families to know that it, however we get our kids to sleep is okay.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Heard it from me. No one really cares about my expertise.
She's a sleep consultant.
But this is
so
my job.
Someone professional told you that. So
That's right. So take it, okay?
So take it. So.
Anyway, that's what made me laugh. Catwoman.
I mean, Zoom been bringing the laughs for the whole of the pandemic.
It really has.
I mean,
the first potato. That was the one. The person stuck as a potato.
Or the man is the cat, the judge, the lawyer.
And his eyes were going so.
They're never going to, I will always laugh at them.
Oh, me too.
Just
never
just
not laugh.
The best. So anyway, thank you for listening, Peas.
Thank you. It's been a great few weeks of hearing from the wise Peas.
It really has.
Yeah. So I hope you've enjoyed it and let us know on our pages what
send
you found.
Send us speak pipes and we will make
speak
you snap
pipes.
Peas.
Yeah. Tell us about how you feel about the book. Tell us about your speak pipes about these episodes. We'll be playing
your
them,
lockdown.
Okay?
What's going on with your lockdown?
Yep.
Or you're missing things, even if you aren't in lockdown. I know, you know, beautiful peas in Queensland can't get home to see their pea grandparents and people in New Zealand
desperate to see
people in
the
Australia.
Peewees,
really, it's been very hard with not seeing people we love.
Yes.
So, let us know and we will play them and let
and
the world hear.
Review us everywhere. Okay, see you, peas.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.